You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
That time of the evening where we join our very own Ibrahim Badacha, an astute businessman, someone that I embrace and celebrate, doing brilliant civic work, and he's a go-to man. And he's someone that everyone, yes, yeah, on Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, very fond of him, and they like him a lot, like how you like him. I like him. Actually, I love him for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim Ba, jazakallah khair for joining us this evening on your segment, Travel Express. How are you doing here this evening?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you for that intro. And by the kudrat of Allah, of course, I'm well. And I wish you, your family, and all listeners to Radio Marcus Sahaba a very, very good evening. And I'm happy to be with you all again.
As I said, the feeling is so reciprocal having you with us, Ibrahim Ba, and looking around us, so much of mixed signals coming through. You're supposed to have a meeting about the beaches and this coming, and then you find when you start reading newspaper articles, it tells you don't trust Itikweni municipality, don't trust those so-called officials that claim to have everything under control. They have nothing under control. And all this mixed signal doesn't go well for us. And also, you have Zweli Mkhize going to the Shembe Church and asking the head priest to to pray for him to become the president of this country. And he's kneeling in front of the priest. And it's a funny, funny place we are at the present moment, Ibrahim Ba. Talk to us.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how to put it. You know, it's so crazy, really. It's almost reaching the height of absurdity. You know, there you have people, and we're talking about the guy that went to the churches now, guilty of gross misappropriation of funds. And now he's still got the nerve, the gall and the nerve, and of course the audacity to go and ask for, what do they call it, absolution, if you might say it that way, and to pray for him to become the president of the country. God forbid, if that should happen, my God, I can't imagine what sort of depths this country would plumb going forward, because we are almost near rock bottom. And as you mentioned earlier, that there are so many conflicting reports. The thing is, there's no more news out there, Brother Shafar. This is propaganda. That's all it is. And the trouble is the professionals are doing that. They mix truth with lies, so much so that nobody can really tell truth from lies anymore. They are masters of the art, as you know. So, yeah, the question is, what they're saying is, in a nutshell, is don't believe your lying eyes, believe what I'm telling you, and only a fool would do that. So it's very much up to the individual, you know, to do his own research, look at the situation, if I might call it, from every aspect, and do some critical thinking. And I know that people would lie, brazenly in this day and age and get away with it. I mean, so much so that they say they're experts, and I'm talking about the city itself, say they're so-called experts deem the water quality to be at an acceptable level. Now, who these experts are and what tests they might have done, what sampling they might have done, which beaches they might have gone to, Allah only knows, because there is no mention of that. It is just there to say, yeah, it's fine. It could be true. I'm not saying it isn't. It could be a big fat lie, on the other hand, because summer season's coming, and with it, the influx of tourists. And of course, you know what a money spinner tourism is. And if they are going to send out mixed signals or news that is not welcome, then obviously people will reconsider their decision to come to KZN, Itikweni in particular, because everyone comes down here for the beaches, of course. The weather's good. It's a lovely place, I must admit, despite all the problems we face. But they are coming for well-earned R&R, you know, after a long, hard year. And it would be a sad day if the municipality is being seen to be telling fairy tales just to suit itself. So it's a question of wait and see. I know they claim to have opened a few more beaches, and that they are convinced and they are happy and assure the public that it's okay. So the acid test will be if the people come and then suddenly get sick from bathing in that water, then all hell will break loose. But it's a question of choice and consequences on the part of the ruling party, and of course those that sit in City Hall. It's their call at the end of the day. They either, you know, man up and say, tell it like it is, or they sort of hide behind the screen and make pronouncements that everything is good when it isn't. So unfortunately, if it pans out that it is correct, then yes, they were right in saying what they did. If not, then they will face the consequences of their action, and very painful they might be and will be in the long term.
You know, Ibrahim, sometimes I think a very sad world that we live in, especially us. I mean, we taxed to death, and then we suddenly, you know, we learned that 51 billion rand of the public money is lost to irregular expenditure. This was last year under the clean and accountable Ramaphosa presidency. And I mean, look at this. I mean, you find that the Auditor General, you know, Maluka's general report released yesterday is staggering. It says 51 billion, Ibrahim Ba, was reported lost to irregular spending in 2021-22, and three state-owned enterprises are on the brink of you know what. I don't even have to tell you. Ibrahim Ba, tell me, man, who are we giving our money to, Ibrahim Ba?
Well, you know, we can. I mentioned the last time we spoke that an author described the ruling party as a criminal enterprise, and that's all we can put it down to, because 51 billion is not something to be sneezed at. It's a massive amount of money. It could very well eradicate poverty throughout South Africa if you gave whatever was so-called, put in very nicely, misappropriated, then we wouldn't have any poor people in the country, and we would have, in one fell swoop, eradicated the majority of our problems that are associated with poverty, unemployment, theft, you know, all the rest of it. But if the fox is guarding the hen house, what are you going to expect? And this is what the case is here, that they are hell-bent on looting the nation until there is nothing left whatsoever. And I don't know what more it's going to take for the ordinary man in the street to realize that he's been taken for a big ride and stand up and demand his rights as a citizen of the country. Because if you are being ruled by what is a kleptocracy, where there is a penchant to steal just about everything in sight, or a kakistocracy, which is government by the worst, unworthy people, and incapable, incompetent, then ours is right up there with the best of them, in the sense that that's what we are faced with. And there's going to be no end in sight. So not to sound like a prophet of doom and gloom, the thing is, we've got to be realists, we've got to be practical, we've got to look at the writing on the wall that's staring us in the face. Because nothing in the past 28 years, and I say this very clearly, has been done to either uplift the rank and file of the communities and their very own people that they swore to do the minute they came into power. What we have is a so-called cabal that sits at the top and supposedly elite. You know, I don't like you using the word, because if you were elite, you wouldn't get up to the kind of nonsense that they are doing every day and looting the nation, stealing the money, destroying all these state-owned enterprises that all the taxes of the people for I don't know how many decades going back in history have been used to put together, and then they use that wonderful word, privatization, that someone will come and buy it off at pennies on the pound, and suddenly, hey, presto, everything will be working fantastically, but it's no longer belonging to the country, to the people. It's an asset of some local or foreign consortium, and they are at liberty to charge you whatever you want. Take electricity, for instance. The fact that we hardly got any, regular supply of water, for instance. I mean, this is now, it's third world and worse, a situation where what once was a flourishing country with a flourishing economy, albeit we had the evil of apartheid. I'm not, glossing over that. But they inherited everything, and what have they done with it? And the evidence is plain to see, and the thing is, they can forever be in denial and say that, oh, you are not patriotic, blah, blah, blah. But what does it mean being patriotic, that I can allow you to do all the wrong things and still say, yeah, you're the right person to run the country? There's no ways you can sort of equate that to patriotism per se. And I just feel for the poor people out there, especially the ordinary, formerly disadvantaged, to use their words, that they've done nothing but dig a deeper hole for these poor people. And I see it every day. And the minute you want to start talking about it, they politely change the subject to something else. And they want to blame everybody else but themselves for the evils that we are now seeing that are so prevalent in our society and in our country. And whereas that is so, the thing is, there are still a few good men and women out there that are still, despite the odds, fighting the good fight. And all we can do is pray that Allah gives them more strength, courage, knowledge, wisdom, and support from like-minded peoples to try and do their best to turn what a disastrous situation is around for the good of all.
Yeah, generally that anecdote where it says, you know, there'll come a time when the dregs of society will be in position of power. Obviously, it's manifesting in front of us. You know, these individuals, they look at you, but you can see that their composition, their DNA, their RNA, and the unrefined disposition, and the way they look at you, and mannerism and how they talk to you. You can just see this, you know, help, man, help. There's help for you. You need a lot of help. You need a lot of panel beating. But it seems as if, this will only come. And I think, you said it very eloquently. The judgment day is coming.
Yeah.
No better way of going being the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, that's why when you look at the punishment that is described in hell, and you say, will Allah really do that? And yes, He will definitely do that, because these people deserve it, Ibrahim Ba.
Yeah, and the thing is, you'll see death staring you in the face. It is said very clearly that when you are enduring the punishment, whichever level of hell you might be consigned to ultimately, is that you will see death, but you will not die. So that punishment will go on and on and on, because you are fully deserving and richly deserve whatever Allah is going to be meeting out to you once He passes judgment on you, because you don't do all these kind of things to ordinary human beings and get away with it. You'll get away here because the whole system is bought and paid for and crooked. And when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about just about anywhere on earth today. This applies where instead of the government serving the people, it is now made out that the people must serve the government. And this is the sickening reality that we are faced with. And that is why we are in such dire straits. If we had the courage to stand together and go to City Hall and tell the whole lot of them, listen, your time is up, move out of here, forget elections or anything, your track record is dismal, you've destroyed the country, get the hell out, and find people who are fair, just, honest, sincere, etc., etc., who are pragmatic enough to get the work done, okay, and are honest enough to ensure 100% transparency in everything that is being done with the public purse, that is the only time that chances are you might and you're going to have a tough time, because once the established order is there, for someone like you that's going to come in and introduce change, there's going to be pushback like you can't imagine. And the first thing they'll do is look to take you out. That's what is the norm these days, or have you suicided or whatever our alphabet agencies are so infamous for doing. So, yeah, it's a big problem we are faced with. And we can only pray for, you know, the return of Nabi Isa to be brought forward sooner, because it's going to be hell on earth if it isn't already.
Yeah, absolutely, Ibrahim Bhaiya. And moving on to our travel express, Ibrahim Bhaiya and I, alhamdulillah, you know, these are pressing issues. These are issues that concerns us. We can go on talking about it another few hours, but alhamdulillah, the you know, the 15 minutes or so that we have left, let's dedicate it to our segment, your segment called Travel Express. Eight of the most underrated travel experiences in Africa. I'm curious, Ibrahim Bhaiya, what are these eight? Eight underrated travel experiences.
Well, this is looking at the entire continent of Africa, Brother Shafat, and a survey was undertaken by a company. It's an adventure tour operator, basically called Explore Worldwide, and they conducted a research based on searches on social media, on the internet, etc., looking at all these how shall I say, entities like TripAdvisor, etc., and looking at the searches, the score, and how often people looked for something like that. They conjured up a database of sorts for experiences as such that are sometimes claimed to be underrated, sometimes are really underrated, and across the globe. And I dare say they found 350 of them globally, of which Africa is privileged to have at least eight of them that figured on high, quite high actually on their list. So as time is running, let me just very quickly mention what they are and what they are known for. And if anyone has the ability or the time or the luxury to make the trip, then it is something to consider. So let's start off with the first one, which is the Gishora Drum Sanctuary in Burundi. And this made the top spot in Africa, would you believe? It's a wonderful experience where the art of Burundi's ancient drum rituals is celebrated. And this ritual incidentally embarks you on a journey through their history, because in Burundi, it is said that the drums were the pillar of political power of the monarchy. And they were made and beaten on special occasions by specialized families called Abatimbo in important places announcing great events of the country, like royal coronations, enthronement, the sowing festival for the harvest planting season, and the funerals of kings, and it gave rhythm to the regular season. I mean, we are not, how shall I say, unaware of that. We have our own proud Zulu nation here that has those drums that they beat from time to time. And I think it is that appeals to the more, how should I say, Western audiences that come to see the culture, and that's how it made top spot of the eight in Africa. The next one is the Roots Yard. It's an off-grid camping experience in Ghana, of all places. And the name should give you the indication of the type of experience. And this in Ghana is time is where you can go with your family, spend quality time away from the hustle and bustle, and of course the how shall I say, gadgetry and social media and all the rest of it, where you can have camping sites that offer vegan food, a very calm, peaceful atmosphere, places where you can go safely for long walks, absolute peace and tranquility. So that's what this Roots Yard off-grid camping experience is about. Kapishia Hot Springs in Zambia. And along with, of course, the world-famous Victoria Falls in Livingston, the third on the list in Africa Kapishia Hot Springs. It's an extraordinary destination where you can enjoy warm waters surrounded by palm trees on the banks of the Mansha River. And many of those who have visited have left this place feeling utterly relaxed and ready for, or should I say, rejuvenated for life and the zest for life. And then in our own very own South Africa, there's the Langebaan Lagoon, would you believe, Brother Shafat, in South Africa, Cape Town, of course. And this is a large saltwater lagoon. And the beautiful landscape attracts numerous water birds. And what makes this lagoon so special is the fact that it has been shaped by the rise and fall of the sea levels over time. And of course, the movement of the tides incoming and outgoing. And the best part of it is a pure saltwater lagoon, and hence it is self-sustaining. And then there's a boat trip to Nosy Fanihi Island in Madagascar. You can get whisked away by the captain of the village of Ndilana, is where we are talking about, to a deserted island where you can go and explore, go fishing, sailing, snorkeling, swimming, with superb seabed corals, etc., in clear and transparent water. And the possibility, of course, exists for you to hike around the island if you're up to it. And however, one is advised to bring your own food and water, as there are no stores available to buy provision from. But if you're there just for the enjoyment of swimming, snorkeling in the turquoise waters, then I think that's a draw card more than anything else. Another one in our own very own backyard, Brother Shafat, is hiking in the Drakensberg. And this has become a tradition and a ritual for some. And the study revealed that the Drakensberg Mountain, which incidentally is our highest mountain in Southern Africa, they offer a hiking and camping experience like no other. And whilst it goes unnoticed, this is especially for those who enjoy the adventure and a challenging hiking experience. Then we move on to the Seychelles, a secret beach called Biage de Anse Maron. And it's similar to, if you know, Boulders Beach in Simonstown, Western Cape. Then this is one of the most beautiful, well, purportedly, I haven't been there, one of the most beautiful beaches on earth, surrounded by rocks and calm waters. And the beach is private in the sense that it is it gives you that sort of secret beach vibes, and it's a true gem, really. You can either take a hike go there by boat, but the hike is a better option because the hiking trail goes into the water, over rocks and through dense forests. And of course, at the end of it, you will be rewarded as you see that unique beach, and it is something that is hard to compare with other beaches because it is absolutely in a class of its own. Finally, we have Pelican Point Kayaking in Walvis Bay, that's in Namibia. And it's considered another one of Africa's underrated places, scoring a dashing 66 points out of the 100 that they allocate. And it makes for great activity for the entire family. And Pelican Point provides a home to up to 50,000 Cape fur seals, as well as heavy sides and bottlenose dolphins. There's also some jackals, flamingos, pelicans, and even, would you believe, the brown hyena. And the Pelican Lighthouse, erected nearly 100 years ago, still casts a guiding light to sailors during the night. So that western coast of Namibia is quite treacherous, and there have been many wrecks over the decades. So that lighthouse is still working just fine. So those are the 8 points in Africa that made the list, Brother Shafat. And it's something that those who have been there, done this, done that, sold a T-shirt at other destinations and want something different and are adventurous, then they should consider doing this.
I tell you, Ibrahim, by sitting back and listening to you, really took me on a very therapeutic adventure and a lovely, you know, a thirst to, you know, recall these innocent places. Because I remember living in my hometown of Isipingo Beach. I'm talking about the 70s, where I must have been 14 years old. And it was my ritual with my late cousin Imtiaz Hassam, who was also of Kismet Bakery. And yep. I used to tell him, Imtiaz and I used to come, he used to come on a Saturday and Sunday, stay with me. Early morning after Fajr, we used to take a walk from, the river mouth.
Yeah,
from the river mouth, we walked straight down into, towards Mackenzie's and the tidal pool, and eventually to the pool that we had in Tiger Rocks, and then come home that way. And, me living in Delta, you've been at my place at Delta Road. So I just walk down that river mouth, take a right turn, pick up the most beautiful shells, see some of the most secretive caves, like an island that we owned. Ibrahim Ba, you know what that place has gone to now. So I lived virtually my whole life, most of my life, in a holiday mode. I was in a destination which Ian McIntosh one day, whilst I was flying with him on, I think we were going to Cape Town together, and he told me, where you live? And I told him, it's a Pingo Beach. He said, that beautiful place, the little paradise no one knew about. Mm-hmm. And, for them, it was a little paradise, the whites of apartheid time. And where to where it has gone, Ibrahim Ba. And I noticed... your experiences. Did you spend a lot of time in the 70s, 60s year at River Mouth, at Sepingo Beach?
Yeah, of course, because it was a popular place, and like you, we also had family that lived there, and we'd go visiting on the odd weekend or so. And of course, whilst the elders would have a good chinwag and tea and whatever else, as youngsters we'd go down to the beach and go for that walk and enjoy the sea breeze that comes off there. It's so beautiful. And sadly, it's gone to the dogs right now. It's unsafe. In fact, I was even asked to put up some warning signs for hijacking hotspots at the bottom there. And recently, someone shared with me some very unpleasant images of... marine life, fish and other crabs and whatnot else that were all dying because of the fact that someone upstream from the canal network had dumped some sort of chemical in there that had taken them out. So I think, we are in the time of insan, in the time of mankind, where that headlong pursuit of material and financial wealth overrides every other concern, whether it's for its fellow human being, whether it's spiritual connection to Allah, or whatever counts for nothing. It's just about the money. And last time I checked in the coffin, there's still no pockets. So I don't know what they're doing really, but it's their life best.
Yeah, I love what you said, and it's it seems there's a craze. Build, and build more.
And then what? What do you take when you go so far? They take nothing but your good or bad deeds with you. I don't know. They just don't get it somehow, and it's just unbelievable. And yet they claim to be civilized and have pretensions to being educated and in touch with their creator, and call themselves Muslim in our case. Yet everything that they do is so much so against the tenets of Islam itself. So how are they going to reconcile that ultimately? They know and Allah know. I don't know.
Absolutely, Ibrahim Ba. Living the Sunnah style of our Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what, 4x4, and one chatai, 3 kurtas, and that was it. He left the world without nothing, and you came, some of us claim to be Sunnah compliant. Your action speaks louder than words, and I'm sure aap to Urdu baat karte hai, ye to thodi couplet hai, dunya dil se laga kar, dunya se kya milega, yaadon khuda ki unko, unko khuda milega. Har cheez hai mitne wali, kya hai khwab ka bharosa, ye dunya aane jaane, kya hai maut ka tikana. And you said it so beautifully. You know what? The coffin has no pockets at all. Ibrahim Ba, when you and I talk, the barakah flows. Already 29 minutes. Perhaps your parting words this evening.
Well, look, just to allude to what you were talking and so eloquently put in Urdu, I'm going to say this here, and it's akin to what you said. And it says that every love that leads one away from Allah's love is in fact a punishment. For only a love that leads to His love is a heartfelt and pure love. how is it possible for one's heart to be certain that one is going to meet Allah, that Allah sees all that one does and knows one's secret and open affairs, and that one will be made to stand before Allah answerable for all of one's deeds? How can one be certain and aware of all this and yet persist in doing things that displease him, abandoning his orders, neglecting his rights, and yet claim that one has good expectations of Allah? Indeed, just who are we to wish for paradise? It will be enough if Allah Most Merciful spares us his wrath that we wittingly court and so richly deserve.
Beautiful, Ibrahim Ba, always, a man of your knowledge. Alhamdulillah, you bring it to the fore. And I'm glad that you've been documented and not wasted, like so many that have the knowledge that are just left on the shelves. But Ibrahim Ba, here you are on Marcus Sahaba, Alhamdulillah, doing justice to your slot on Coffee Express and also After Dinner Mints. Allah bless you for that. And inshallah, you're going to have a beautiful, lovely evening ahead. And we'll talk to you soon, Ibrahim Ba.
Jazakallah khair for the opportunity, as always, Brother Shafat. And thank you to the management of Radio Marcus Sahaba. And may God bless you and all our listeners out there. And have a lovely evening further. And stay blessed.
Jazakallah, Ibrahim Ba. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, sir, people, I'd like to thank our Lucalo for brilliant engineering, and keep it locked on to Marcus Sahaba for beautiful programming. From the team and I, till we meet you again, we bid you, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.